Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes. We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good afternoon, everybody. Pardon me. And welcome to an impromptu show of the Red Fox Blogger, and I'm your host, Cal Fritzy. I think the show note is pretty self-explanatory as to why I'm doing this impromptu show today. Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll have quit the English Defense League. Essentially, the English Defense League has been disbanded. I was, for some reason, I woke up earlier than usual today. So I thought, well, I'm going to kill some time and open up the dailies and read the newspaper. And I was inundated with emails about Tommy English and Kev Carroll and the English Defense League. So I was quite busy. I finally took a break and took the dog out, got some fresh air, came back. More emails. Well, you know, you guys know what's going on by now. Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll have effectively left the English Defense League. I had a chance to talk with Tommy English, and he is one of the division leaders and the co-host of East Anglian EDL radio show. He's going to try to call in. He's working right now, so he might be a little late. So Tommy may be joining me a little later on. I hope he does. I know that he's absolutely gutted over this, and I know that he wants to have a conversation about it. So hopefully he will be here a little later on. Jan England of the Christian Defense League, she may be joining me a little later on too. So like I say, it's an impromptu show. It's a lot to expect people to kind of drop everything and run over here for the little old Red Fox, but we'll wait and see what happens. Either way, I have a lot of information that I can share with you, and I especially want to thank Poppy for this. Poppy was instrumental in helping me get all the links and all the articles and all my ducks in a row. So this is a very special thanks to Poppy for all her help. She's been working diligently all day as well. Well, what exactly did Tommy Robinson do? I guess he left the English Defense League. What's going to happen to the English Defense League now? We don't know. There are a lot of very unhappy people out there. I, for one, am one of them. Tommy Robinson has left the English Defense League to join the Quilliam Foundation. If you're not familiar with what the Quilliam Foundation is, I'll give you a brief overview. Okay. The Quilliam Foundation is the world's first counter-extremism think tank set up to address the unique challenges of citizenship, identity, and belonging in a globalized world. Quilliam stands for Religious Freedom, Equality, Human Rights, and Democracy. Challenging extremism is the duty of all responsible members of society, not least because cultural insularity and extremism are products of the failures of a wider society to foster a shared sense of belonging and to advance liberal democratic value. With Islamic extremism in particular, we believe a more self-critical approach must be adopted by Muslims. Westophobic ideological influence and social insularity need to be challenged within Muslim communities by Muslims themselves, whilst simultaneously an active drive towards creating an inclusive civic identity, and it must be pursued by all members of society. Quilliam seeks to challenge what we think the way we think. It aims to generate creative, informed, and inclusive discussions to counter the ideological underpinnings of terrorism whilst simultaneously providing evidence-based recommendations to governments for related policy measures. So there, that is that's the mission statement of the Quilliam Foundation. Now I want to introduce you to some of the staff members first of all, the Quilliam Foundation was founded by Matty Nowes. He's the co-founder and chairman. The president is Norman Benelman. The director of training and consultancy is Ghaffer Hussein. The head of pro-democracy activism is Fatima Mulek. The senior researcher in Islamic studies is Isama Hassan. The program director is Jonathan Russell. Harriet Phillips is the head of operations, and Miley Jones operations assistance and public relations to the chairman. So the Quilliam Foundation was essentially set up by a group of Muslims. The Quilliam Foundation is just another front group. It's another front group, and that is what Tommy Robinson has aligned himself with. So thanks a lot, Tommy Robinson. Thanks a hell of a lot. Half the reason why I got into my battle to combat Islam and Islamism is because I had faith in the English Defense League. Now the founder, the co-founder of that organization has essentially, in my opinion, thrown it under the bus. So what happens to the English Defense League now? We don't know. No idea at this point. I have a clip here, though. I want you to listen to this because this is Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll. They're speaking at a conference. I'm just trying to see which one. I have a few audio clips up here, so just bear with me for a sec, folks. They're on Sky News. There we are. And once again, this is courtesy of Poppy for sending this to me. I'm going to tee it up for you. I want you to take a listen to this. The show is going to be rather heavy on the clips because these are sound bites, breaking news, as it were, and I think it's very important that you all hear the news, hear it all as much as you can. So this is Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll on Sky News, courtesy of Poppy. Here we go.
Now, the press conference has been going on the last few minutes in central London, fronted by Tommy Robinson, former leader of the Mr. Nawaz of the Quilliam Foundation as well, both giving their comments in central London. A warning, there will be some flash photography because it is a press conference.
So, first of all, I'd like to say that we've been working with Quilliam for 5 years. Those of us who are Quilliam have been working for 5 years to challenge Islamist extremism, but also we've been concerned with what we call far-right extremism. My own entry into Hizb ut-Tahrir, the Islamist organization I left, happened at 16 years old because of my own experience in Essex being attacked by neo-Nazi paramilitaries and a group known as Combat 18. We've always been interested in this, and therefore, my own departure from Hizb ut-Tahrir happened when Amnesty International adopted me as a prisoner of conscience and reached out to me, which healed my heart. And what I've said often is that where the heart leads, the mind can follow. When Tommy here came to me and said that he wants to reach out in a similar way, he wants a chance to move forward in a positive direction. He wants a chance to prove to the world that he isn't happy with the association that the EDL has come to be known to have with neo-Nazis. He isn't happy with that association, nor is Kevin here to my left, and that they want a chance to demonstrate they're not happy and move forward positively. I would be a very bad human being if I didn't extend to them both that chance that Amnesty extended to me, which has brought me here today as the man that I am. I believe everyone deserves a chance to demonstrate that they want to move forward in a positive way. The last thing I'll say before handing over to Tommy is, of course, going forward, there may be things that all four of us on this table agree with and disagree with. But I'll ask all of you here to consider one thing. If Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll came to you and said, help us leave the English Defence League, you can either say to them, stay as leaders of the English Defence League, and we want that group to continue existing, to continue its street protests in a provocative manner, and thereby you'd be supporting the very thing that you'd be claiming to be against. Or you could say, This is a wonderfully courageous and brave thing to do. Yes, I will help you leave the English Defence League, and the rest we can work out going forward, because the future needs to be better. It needs to be positive. It needs to be inclusive. It needs to be British for all of us together. We need to challenge those who undermine that vision of a togetherness and of a Britishness. I chose the latter option, and I chose to invest my trust in these two men, and they chose in turn to invest their trust in me. And as I said, we may not agree on everything going forward, but the fact that they've made this gesture, it must be accepted, it must be welcomed, because the alternative was to have the EDL still out there on our streets. And that's not an alternative that I'm sure many of us would want, and I know certainly Muslims wouldn't want. We have to my right there a very religious Muslim and a senior theologian in this country. This is not about hating Muslims. Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll have made it very clear to me, they do not hate Muslims. And that's the trust that I'm going to vest in them and hope that we go forward to demonstrate a more democratic way of doing things. Tommy.
Basically, first of all, I believe what's happened with the English Defence League has had to happen. I believe the debate has had to be had, and I believe that for the last 4 years, I've seen it as part of the solution. I believe the underswell and the feeling has had to get out there. I've then become of the belief that progressing, instead of being part of the solution, it may become part of the problem, which is not what I've wanted. First of all, I'll apologise for the fact that what I've represented and said has not resonated individually with Muslims. I don't hate Muslims. I've said the whole way through this, I don't hate Muslims. And ourselves, we're both singing off the same hymn sheet. We're from Luton Town, it's a completely multicultural town, and from the day one in the English Defence League, we've wanted to embrace everyone, all colours and all creeds. I have a passion to combat Islamist ideology, and I said it earlier, I want to lead a revolution against that Islamist ideology, but I don't want to lead a revolution against Muslims. I don't hate Muslims. And I went away for 18 weeks in October, and during that time, it was the first time I'd had out in the English Defence League in 3 years. And it's quite a chaotic life, to say the least. It has been chaotic with death threats or violent assaults or arrests. It's been chaotic. And then when I was away for 18 weeks, I was on solitary confinement. It gave me time to evaluate everything, think about everything, think about where I was going. I thought about how I neglected my wife, my children, my family. And I also thought about, what do we want? What is it we want? People keep saying, well, you're doing this, which we are doing, and I still maintain. Each time we were doing demonstrations, it's a cry for help from Middle England. It's like, there are problems. We're not going to solve these problems by pretending they're not there. And quite frankly, that's what I've seen, everyone burying their head in the sand. So I asked myself a lot of questions when I was away, and what we want, and to achieve what we want, is I've got 3 young children. I want what's best for them. And what's best for them is to confront the problem. But I then realised that marching through the streets saying Allah, Allah, Huda is Allah, what we were actually doing is giving any moderates, any people who are willing to speak up against extremist voices, we're actually giving them something something to align themselves with extremists on the same issue, because we're offending all of them. So to solve the problem, we need the support, and we need to work with Muslims in this country to defeat Islamist ideology. And similar, Muslims need to work with non-Muslims to defeat the neo-Nazi ideology. Now, when I come out of custody, I've been gone 18 weeks. We had fought for 3.5 years to keep fascists, to keep racists out of the English Defence League. When I was away, there was an attempt at a coup which involved people turning on Kevin Carroll, because he is of the same ethos and belief of what I want, and an attempted takeover. Now, I was released on tag. When I was released on tag, it's the first demonstration in 3 years I hadn't been to. And when I looked at that Manchester demonstration, and I saw flags and signs, white pride flags, I saw things that did not represent me. Yeah? And I'd managed to steer this very difficultly, but when I was looking at it, I thought, that does not represent me. Am I willing to be the public face for them? No, I'm not. And that's the big issue for me. That's when it started. This started in February. And I come out and look, I will not be the public face for them. And then I've said, when someone turns up at a demonstration and they lift up their top and they've got a picture of a mosque and it says, boom, yeah, Muslims think they're offended and they're upset. We're offended by that. It's my face that everyone here reports is a racist. It's me that takes the flak from it. And I have not won.
Let's leave that press conference there in central London. Tommy Robinson, formerly of the EDL, explaining there to the public through that press conference his reasons for leaving the EDL, the English Defence League, saying that after some period of incarceration, he realised that not only had he been neglecting his family, but also that the EDL had strayed into a direction that he was not prepared to follow. He also talked about an attempted coup for the leadership while he was away, and also spoke about the betrayal to his friend Kevin Carroll, who was also there at the press conference. From the Quilliam Foundation, an Islamic organization dedicating itself to fight Islamic ideology on the extreme end. And Mr. Majid Nawaz also opening there, saying that Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll came to him, and he said he would have been a bad human being if he'd not accepted their approach to him and investigated further this partnership that seems to be being announced here at a press conference. No doubt there'll be more details of that as it evolves.
So that was one of the press conferences that Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll held today. I put the link for that in the chat room for you. You can find it on YouTube. For my archive listeners, just go to YouTube. It's titled Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll Quit the EDL, in parentheses, Quilliam Foundation. So you can quite easily find it. I'm sure you'll find it on Twitter because it's number one trending on Twitter, as far as I can tell, the last time I checked my Twitter. But I'm watching that video, and I'm ready to literally throw up because he's flanked by two Muslims there, one of them being good old Maddie. Now is this organization, they're using their very language against us. I am rather flabbergasted that Tommy Robinson would align himself with the Quilliam Foundation, which is nothing more than another Islamic Muslim Brotherhood front group, as far as I can tell. I'm very disappointed today. I declare a new organization, the Red Fox Defense League. That's right, the Red Fox Defense League. It wasn't just Tommy Robinson that disappointed me. There are a lot of players out there that are disappointing me. This one from Atlas Shrugs. This is Pamela Geller, her organization. Her organization is actually the Stop Islamification of America. However, on her blog, Atlas Shrugs, she released a statement, and she's got a nice picture here, the Fab Four, yeah, Robert Spencer, Kev Carroll, Pamela Geller, and Tommy Robinson, the Fab Four. Tommy Robinson, Kevin Carroll, Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, breaking with the EDL. I'm going to put this in the chat room for you, too. Let's go. Here we go. In the chat room, you go, link. There you go. I put the link there in the chat room for you. This is what she wrote. Tommy Robinson and Kevin Carroll are announcing their departure from the English Defense League. This move has come after many months of deliberations and many years of constant efforts by Robinson and Carroll to prevent the EDL from being infiltrated and co-opted by racist anti-Semites, fascists, neo-Nazis, and far-right elements. Increasingly, Robinson's time has been taken up with patrolling and policing EDL demos to keep out those infiltrators and far-right ideologues. He has decided, and my AFDI colleague Robert Spencer and I strongly endorse his decision, that his time is better spent working for the defense of England and human rights against Sharia and Islamization in different and more effective ways. This has been a long time coming. Back in June 30th of 2011, I wrote that because of the neo-fascists that have infiltrated the administration of the group, I was withdrawing my support from the EDL. Tommy Robinson immediately issued a statement to SIOA saying, "We repudiate any individual, group, or writing that favors anti-Semitism, neo-fascism, and any race-based ideology. Any rogue element within the EDL who go against our mission, statement, and our beliefs will be removed from the organization. We are determined to remain true to our mission. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated ever within the EDL. These statements drew the ire of some counter-jihad bloggers who apparently didn't mind the racists and anti-Semites within the EDL. Well, of course, you know, well, I would mind that. So I'm giving points there for that. Yeah, we don't want anti-Semites. We don't want any of that. But like the article goes on, these statements drew the ire of some counter-jihad bloggers who apparently didn't mind the racist and anti-Semites within the EDL and who addressed an open letter to me denouncing me for drawing back from the EDL. But a huge group of counter-jihad bloggers declared their support for our stand. When Robinson assured us that he was just as concerned about these elements as we were and was working to root them out of the EDL, we continued to support the organization. Now, over 2 years later, it is clear to all of us that the best way to proceed is to leave the EDL behind and move forward in a new direction. This shows the utter mendacity and bankruptcy of the leftist and Islamic supremacist claim that our support of the EDL demonstrated that we ourselves were racist and fascist. As if that weren't clear enough already. It also exposes the backstabbing and skullduggery of those in the counter-jihad movement who excoriated us for raising these entirely legitimate concerns. Our struggle in the AFDI and SION, which continues to stand with Robinson and Carroll, is now and has always been for the freedom of speech, the freedom of conscience, and the equality of rights of all people before the law. We look forward to working with Robinson and Carroll in the future as we continue this great struggle for freedom. Well, I'll be. So essentially, you're abandoning the English Defense League because the members are nothing more than a group of big old racists and anti-Semites, in your opinion, Ms. Geller. I just have a question, Ms. Geller. How the hell do I get my refund, the money I spent to listen to you speak in Toronto last month? Where's my refund? Because as far as I'm concerned, you're just as culpable in this latest. This is this reeks of dimitude. Miss Geller, she'll never listen to this show. She'll never hear it. Or maybe she will. Copy and paste goes a long way. But as far as I'm concerned, I no longer want to be associated with anybody that would put in a public statement that leaving the EDL behind is the best thing to do because, hey, the EDL, hey, they're just nothing but a bunch of big old racists. You know, Tommy Robinson, maybe you just didn't think this through when you created the English Defense League. I don't know. You could have totally rebranded the English Defense League. But instead, you choose just to walk away from it. You and Kev Carroll, you just choose to walk away from it. When this show goes to tape, I'm going to send you the link to this program, Tommy Robinson, so you can take a listen and you can find out for yourself exactly what you have done. I am beyond furious here. The EDL, where does it go now? Where are the people fighting for England? Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? What about the demos? Are all the demos canceled? Do I have to put my EDL buttons away? I'm an EDL angel, Tommy. What am I going to do? What? It doesn't matter anymore. It's over. Kaput. Done. Sayonara. See you later. Bye-bye. Wow. I don't know what to make of this. I have another clip, like I'm telling you, and I got to stop saying, like I say, because that is one of the most idiotic audio think things that I use. It drives me nuts doing that. There is a lot of reaction to the announcement of Tommy leaving the EDL. But I have a clip here I want to share with you, and I'm just going to bring it up. I'm teeing it up. Okay, here. Okay, I've got it, and it's playing without me. You just hang on, you bad boy. This is Tommy Robinson leaving the EDL after 4 years of battle with scum. Yes, the leader of the English Defense League, Tommy Robinson, talks to Nikki Campbell about why he and other senior colleagues have decided to step down. His decision follows discussions with the Quilliam Foundation, which describes itself as the world's first counter-extremism organization based in London. It's run by the former radical Islamist Majid Nawaz and Dr. Usama Hassan. So take a listen to this, guys. You can play for me anytime now, you know. Bad boy.
I made this decision 9 months ago, if I'm honest. I was away from the movement for 18 weeks, and when I come back to the movement, it didn't represent what I stand for. And people that I'd fought hard, I'd fought to keep out racists from the movement, certain splinter organisations, were not just back at a demonstration. It was the first demonstration I hadn't attended in 4 years. And because I didn't attend, they weren't just back, they were welcome back. Now, what I ask people to understand is that I'm the public face. It's me that it comes back to. When some moron lifts up his top and he's got the picture of a mosque saying boom, and it's all over the national newspapers, it's me. It's when I pick up my kids from school, the parents are looking at me, judging me on that. And whilst I want to lead a revolution against Islamist ideology, I don't want to lead a revolution against Muslims. I believe the revolution needs to come from within the Islamic community, and they need to stand up. And I believe this is a step forward, not a step backwards.
Prominent in Quilliam, we have Majid Nawaz and Usama Hassan, who are both Muslims. Usama himself is a prominent scholar of the Quran. Meeting them, have they, in a sense, changed your mind?
I met Usama, and I'd already known a lot about Quilliam. And then I met Majid. And he actually refused to sit me, if I'm honest. But listening to Majid and knowing Majid's background, I believe this is a transition and a natural development. I believe we've achieved a lot through the English Defence League.
But you say you've achieved a lot with the English Defence League. In many people's minds, the English Defence League are synonymous with a bunch of, you know, racist thugs. And you yourself mention, you know, the guys who lift up their shirts,
yeah,
you know, with beer bellies,
you see,
and have burning mosques. So you understand, and you, because you've been the leader of that, a lot of people have you as a kind of a figurehead of hatred.
Yeah, I know how people view that, and to be honest, the way people view the English Defence League is unfair. What I will admit is that there's fringe elements that I've battled against, and there are racist elements and there's violence, and I want to distance myself from that. But there are so many great, decent people in the English Defence League who have been given no voice for too many years in this country. And that's what the problem is. They're working class, and they're ignored, and just because they can't articulate the argument, it's like they don't matter. And for me, this is not about selling them out. This is about giving a platform to their voice, which is a non-racist. Obviously, there are racists. What I'm saying is the majority of people I've met, through my journey with the English Defence League, I've met the best people in my life, and I've met the worst.
What about the worst? What about the worst? How do you feel about the worst now?
Yeah, well, I understand this is going to be... Like, what I could have done...
You understand this is going to be what?
It's going to be... This is massive for me. I mean, this is changing my whole life, and it's going to be a massive problem for me at the same time.
In what way? I mean, are you scared for your life? Are you scared for security because of this? Because of the racist element, the thugs? I mean,
they're not going to be happy today, are they? They're not going to be happy, but in a level of, like... Do I think English Defence League members are going to plant bombs and kill my family? No, I don't. I feel there will be a backlash of anger, but I feel that will die off. And I think when people listen to me and listen to the route and the channel I want to take it, I hope I'll get support from the real English Defence League supporters. And with this element of fascists that there are and the racists, it's like they stifle the debate. They're part of the problem because no one gives credibility to what we're saying. Every time we do something, there's genuine concerns. What we want to get home is the genuine fears and concerns of normal, ordinary people. Now, that is lost in translation when bottles start getting thrown. And for me, it's been like a continuous battle. It's not against every Muslim. It's against tackling the Islamist ideology. And what I've seen with Quilliam, which is why I see it as a step forward, is I like what the work they do. They're highlighting issues. And to be honest, I despise far-right Nazi extremists in the same way I despise Islamist extremists.
Have you ever done a fascist salute at a meeting? Have you
ever? No, never. But, mate, I've been to court for knocking someone out for doing a fascist salute. So when people say, what have you done against fascism? I've set fire to Nazi flags. I've completely put it on
Nazi. You did headbutt somebody at a meeting.
Because he was from the far right.
Yeah, but you've got to see, would Dr. Osama Hassan or Majid Nawaz have headbutt somebody at a meeting? You know, you've got to realise that a lot of people are going to point at you for your past.
I've made a massive decision in my life to do this, and it's a decision that's not going to be popular with many people who support my cause. And I've made that decision because I believe this is what's right and this is what's needed. I believe that unless we have this dialogue and there is a platform given for this debate, then what replaces the English Defence League in 5 or 10 years' time will be terrible for this country.
Because you've said things like, I guess the last 1400 years of history where Islam has been at war with non-Islam, it is our fault. It's ridiculous. You also said we're not the cause. The root cause of the problem is the Quran. It's Islam. Now, tell me this.
Yes.
Meeting Dr. Osama Hassan, who's a scholar of Islam, he's a man of great faith. Do you now appreciate that a lot of Muslims in this country feel that they were unfairly being tarred with that brush? And that's why they feel. Have you changed your mind on that?
I appreciate that. Well, what I've said is, with Osama, the problem is either there's a problem with scripture or there's a problem with translation. There's clearly a problem, because what Dr. Osama says it represents is completely opposite to what fundamentalists say it represents. So whilst what comes from this is I completely accept that which I've said for 4 years anyway, is the majority of this Muslims in this country are great people, but there's a serious threat. I'm not going to pretend that the threat against our nation from the Islamist political Islam ideology, whether it be fundamentalists or people who wish to enforce Sharia, it's there and it's real.
But do you understand?
What I hope this does is open up a credible debate where we have to work alongside them. We need to be together on this against extremism on both sides. And to get there, walking through the street shouting Allah, Allah, Huda is Allah, is not going to get us to that point. And so
when you said, if I may, Islam has been at war with non-Islam, and the root cause is Islam, do you now acknowledge that you're saying there is an extremist element? Nobody would deny that there's a dangerous element. But do you now acknowledge that most Muslims in this country are peaceable? They are more like Dr. Osama Hassan than they are like Anjem Choudhury. Do you acknowledge that?
Yeah, Nikki, when you say do I now acknowledge it, that's something I've acknowledged for 4 years.
But it wasn't clear, was it? Because people said, there's that EDL thug.
This us and them is not how it started. And it's not how I wish it to go on. And people need to be brave enough. This era of political correctness that sees everyone petrified and cultural sensitivity that has silenced our entire country into genuine concerns. What we have to have in this country is when a non-Muslim is a critic of certain things around Islam, they can't just call them Islamophobic and racist. They have to listen to concerns. When their heartfelt concerns, they have to be listened to.
Majid Nawaz and Osama Hassan say exactly the same thing. Do you think there will be some people who now think you're sleeping with the enemy? There will be people who say that, won't there?
Yeah, but those people who do say that are not the people that I want support of.
Mehdi Hassan, the Huffington Post's political director, says just 1 week ago you were accused of stalkerish and bizarre behaviour by an anti-EDL campaign group, posting photos on your Twitter feed where you appear to be looking through someone's mail, looking through their door. Here's one of your tweets. Hey, buddy, I'd like to pop round for a chat. Can we set a date, time? If not, I'll come round unannounced. Now, that sort of stuff, that sort of behaviour, has it gone?
For me now, it's about moving on. It's about moving on. My family are in danger. Everyone understands that. These people think it's funny and clever to post my family's addresses. So when I've gone round to that man's house, he's posting my family's address. Now, what step do I take? Because I've gone to the police for this with death threats to chop up my children and everything.
But that tweet was on the 19th of September. It was very recently.
Yeah,
I mean, have you...
Yeah, very recently. Very recently, what I'm saying is that the police have not acted in any way I feel to protect my family. So when someone posts my address, I'm going to go around their house and talk to them about it, and I want them to depost it and take it down because I have to protect my family. So that's where that's come about. But when we're on about moving on, I want to be a credible voice, and I see the way forward is through speakers like Quilliam, and hopefully.
Have you joined Quilliam?
I'm going to be working with Quilliam to help this transition.
To help a transition, so there will be a point where you join them, maybe.
I want to combat extremism. I see Quilliam as the only voice in this country, really, that represents that.
The far right are going to hate you for this, and many on the left will hate you for this. They will say this is phony. This is a guy who is full of bile, who's trying to find an escape route. So what do you say to people on the left who say, come on, Tommy Robinson, leaving the EDL?
I'll say to people on the left, what do they think he's going to do for me? This is going to turn my life upside down. I'm going to be more hated now than I was yesterday. That's for sure. So this is not me looking for a way out, because if I wanted a way out, I would have just quit the English Defence League. Yeah, I wouldn't have joined up with Quilliam. I wouldn't have said that I see this as the way forward. I would have just quit, and that would have been my way out. But this is going to bring a lot of flack on myself, but I hope people listen to the reasons why I'm doing it. And to be honest, I have to look where we're going. If we want to solve these problems, then we need the support of Muslims like Osama and Majid.
Well, all I can say is, wow, 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 wow. Mm-hmm. You know that a lot of people, at great risk, joined the English Defense League because this was a movement to take your country back. Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll, they founded a wonderful organization, albeit with its problems. But that goes with the territory. However, it was a movement. It was an effective movement. Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll, they have thrown all these people who believed in England under the bus. I'm sorry, but I'm mad. Am I being knee-jerk? I don't know, perhaps. However, one thing I'm feeling right now is furious. I'm just wondering if the EDL website, if that has since been pulled. I'm going to do a quick Google here while I have you guys with me, doing it on the air, because that's something I forgot to do. Let me see. EnglishDefenseLeague.org. It looks like it's still there. Well, the English Defense League website, it's still up there. And they are saying that the next demo is in Bradford for Saturday, the 12th of October. So that would be this weekend, folks. So apparently, the EDO website is up. They are promoting the next demo in Bradford for Saturday, October 12th. I know that was a concern to a lot of people in the chat rooms. They were wondering about that. As far as we know, it is a go. So for my EDL family out there, at this point, the EnglishDefenseLeague.org website, it is up, and they are promoting the next demo for Bradford. That's fantastic. However, it's the EDL rudderless. Is the EDL, what's going to happen with the EDL? A lot of people very unhappy out there. The Twitter sphere has absolutely exploded. EDL fans are very upset, and they have taken their opinions to Twitter, as it were. Yeah, it's not even so much that he's abandoning the EDL, but he's taking up with the Quilliam Foundation, founded by Muslims. For God's sake, this is what we're fighting against! The Quilliam Foundation? Really? Oh, all right. Okay, I'll calm down. Sorry, I'm just flabbergasted by this thing. I'm still absorbing this thing. I was really hoping Tommy English could be here. He'd probably temper my mood and help me out. But like I was explaining, Tommy does have a new job, and his hours are rather different. So he said that he would try his hardest to be here. If he's not here, I totally understand that. So, Tommy, don't worry about it. I think the old Red Fox is baring the teeth quite nicely here. So, and I'll make sure that you get the MP3 later on, baby. So there you go. Don't work too hard, Tommy. But, yeah, there's a lot of people out there very unhappy about this. The tweets are fast and furious. The reactions are less than laudatory. We have one from Peter who says, news article that you have left the EDL. UK government and Kuwait funded. Quilliam is facilitating your move. What the hell is this? We have one from Mr. B. EDL, Tommy Robinson, can't believe you have backdoored it, mate, just as it's getting big. That's from Mr. B. Vicky says, WTF? So what's going to happen now? Think you need to explain yourself. And many called him a coward. This is from Dazzle. So EDL, Tommy Robinson has quit EDL because it was too extreme for him. Two words. Oh, and they're not nice words, people. Ooh, they're not nice at all. I'll put the link in the chat room and you guys can read that. This is prime time. And there are kids running around. So, but believe me, there's a lot of unhappy people out there. Tamana had to say, unfollowing at EDL T. Robinson was my icon at one time, but tarnished all the respect as a coward. Is it despair for freedom now? And Tommy Robinson weighed in. He put in a link for the QuilliamFoundation.org press release, and he said, hope people listen to my reasons. Well, Tamana came back and said, shocking. So the last man standing against Islam radicalization has given up and ran away. You weren't as brave as you claimed. Mallory says something very unpleasant. S-H-I-T-E bag. And Tommy Robinson, he's still twittering away there on his account, putting in the link for the press release, and hope people listen to my reasons. Stephen had to say, at EDLT Robinson, you're a sellout. Others were confused and frightened about what the future might hold. EDLT Robinson has today disappointed thousands of his supporters here in the UK and all over the world. From our very own Tommy English at EDLT Robinson, Tommy, you can't quit. We need you. Paul, don't let them win, mate. You'll be giving into and effectively admitting to everything they all say about you. This is from Gary. Respect. At EDL T. Robinson and at EDL Kev Carroll, gutted to read. They have left the EDL. Looks like these terrorists have won. Absolutely gutted. That's just a sampling of some of the tweets, and I'll put that in the chat room for you guys right now. I'm very disappointed in this. There's a lot of very unhappy people out there. The EDL was founded on the principles of combating the Islamification of the UK. Tommy Robinson in 2009 had a vision, as did his uncle and co-founder, Kev Carroll. I didn't always agree with everything, but that's okay because nobody always agrees with everything anyway. But I love the spirit. I love the commitment of the members of the English Defense League. I respected what the English Defense League represented. I applauded every time I saw a demo, maybe on a YouTube clip, all those people waving the flag, wearing EDL t-shirts or sweatshirts or buttons, standing in unison and making it very clear that they were not going to let Islam overrun the great nation of England. That made me feel so proud. I was very proud to co-host on EDL Radio for a year and talk about the issues in England that affect the West and the Western world. I was very proud of doing that. English Defense League touched not only the people in England, but it was an international movement. For God's sake, look at all the chapters out there globally. There are EDL chapters in Canada, the United States, Australia, all over Europe, as far away as Indonesia, Japan, China. Because Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll had a vision. It was called Stand Up and Take Your Country Back. Because I know Islam is a true threat to Western societies. The EDL is our poster child for saying, hell no, we're not going to take it anymore. But now, both founders of that organization have thrown all of it away. We are on our own now. What do we do next? Where do we go from here? I do want to thank you all very much for joining me for my impromptu show. As you know, I normally tape Mondays at 3 p.m., and I tape on Fridays at 7 p.m. Hang on, there's something here I want to address, so I'm just going to hug the phone here. Interesting. My show's being talked about, apparently. I don't know what they're saying about it. I got somebody out there. Okay. Interesting. I'll address that a little later on. I do want to thank you, though, for joining me on my impromptu show. I want to thank Agador and Kath and Dana Smearman. Ivan is here. Thank you, Ivan. Moving Forward is here. Paul Alexander is here. Poppy, Remember Soldier is here. Richard Mulligan, thank you for being here. And Ivan, if you can call in, I'd appreciate that. You're in the chat room, so if you want to call in, please do, because I really need somebody to help me through this, because I'm doing this show with a lump in my throat. I like what Ivan said. Not one man is the EDL. We are all EDL. And he's right. We are all EDL. Always. I'm going to play a song here. Personally, I just like this song because I like the way it's written. I like the way it's sung. I like the instruments in it. But it has taken on a special meaning for today. I want you to listen to the very first line of the opening song. Okay? I'll be back here in a few minutes.
stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lies of the people running round their castles are burned. I see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your humble host, Kel Fritzy, and this is my impromptu show discussing with you the latest developments of the English Defense League and where do we go from here. I don't know. I'm very, like I say, and I got to stop saying that. There's a few things I have to stop doing. That is, like I say, and absolutely. Those mental audio fillers really annoy me. Oh, but you know what? I'm a citizen journalist, so there you go. I'm really happy to see Ivan in my chat room, though. And he is letting us know that Tommy will be on Newsnight at 10:30 tonight, Greenwich Mean Time. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Robinson will be on Newsnight at 10:30 p.m. tonight, okay? So you take a listen for that. Let me see. What time is it? It's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So he'll be on the air in 30 minutes, I guess, Greenwich Mean Time. The chat room is really quite busy. I'm very happy to see that there are a lot of people here who are feeling the same way that I'm feeling right now. I just want to thank Renas, who just joined us in the chat room. Thanks, Renas, for being here. I was talking with Bonnie at Bare Naked Island this morning, and I sent her some things, and she's another prolific blogger out there. Me, I'm just a little peon. Bonnie is in the big leagues, and Bonnie is not happy either. She posted a really good article, though, and this comes from the Gates of Vienna. And, of course, I want to thank Poppy for sending this to me. I was scrambling around all afternoon, all morning, the afternoon, and Poppy was instrumental in helping me put a lot of this show together for today. When you throw up an impromptu show because of breaking news, it is rather daunting. It's great to have a person out there who knows how hard it can be some days to do the show, and especially when you're doing an impromptu show like I am. So Poppy has pretty much been my mainstay all day. So yeah, this is from Poppy, and this is from Bare Naked Islam. And Bare Naked Islam is relating an article from Gates of Vienna. Of the few accounts I've read about this, Gates of Vienna seems to have the best take on it. So I'm going to read that to you. I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you. Here. There you go. Put it in the chat room for you. The two top leaders of the English Defense League have left the organization to join the Quilliam Foundation, a mainstream NGO founded by a Muslim, Maddie Nowitz, that fights extremism in all its forms. Among other actions, Quilliam takes great pains to prevent the stigmatization of Muslims by Islamophobes. Ever since Tommy was released early from prison last winter, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop, and now it has. It seems obvious back then that attempts would be made to turn him while he was in solitary confinement, offering him both carrots and sticks to cease his anti-Sharia advocacy as the head of the English Defense League. The first carrot was his early release. That was followed by a series of increasingly unpleasant sticks. Arrest after arrest after arrest. Later this month, he is facing trial for one of the Woolwich-related arrests. Presumably, the judicial authorities had a quiet word with him about how long he would spend behind bars this time. He may have been facing the prospect of only being able to see his kids once a week through that glass wall while they grew up without him. He might have seen his family forced into destruction, ostracism, and humiliation. Then came along the Quilliam carrot. The Quilliam Foundation is one of those quasi-governmental entities that exist to serve the purpose of the governing elite. A coordinated strategy involving it would serve to decapitate the EDL, driving much of the membership of the regional divisions into the arms of the BNP. From the point of view of Cameron, Clegg, and Milbrand, nothing could be better. The EDL's effectiveness as a street force would be reduced. A renewed BNP would mop up the Islamophobic opposition and marginalize them further, and support for UKIP would be weakened. The BNP is not the real threat to the British powers that be. It is widely seen as being an appendage of M15, or M15, my apologies, and is kept within a cozy anti-Semitic corral like the NDP, or the MP, my apologies, folks, like the NPD in Germany, unable to achieve any meaningful electoral success whilst drawing the support of discontented nationalists. What really makes the well-coiffed heads in Whitehall turn permanently white is the thought that growing support for the EDL might merge with the grassroots surge that is now pushing UKIP ahead of one of the more major parties in local elections and public opinion polls. An EDL-UKIP juggernaut must be their big nightmare, and that has now been shrewdly avoided by moving Tommy and Kevin into a harmless position within an organization that acts as a stooge for the government. Any demoralized EDL members who turn to the BNP for solace are making a serious strategic era, but their sentiments are understandable. Why would they embrace UKIP, from which their perspective is weak dishwater as a political party? As for Tommy and Kevin, all we can do is wish them well in their new positions. Tommy is a courageous scrapper with an uncommon amount of grit. A lesser man would have folded years ago. I have no illusions about my own courage. I would have given in the first time the cell door clanged shut behind me, or when the first fist connected with my cheekbone. Tommy has earned my enduring admiration. Godspeed to both of them, and may the luck of the Irish as well. They need more than luck, because now they are working for the Muslims, and that is Bonnie's input on that. Well, sure. That is, well, if that is Gates of Vienna's take, fine. I'll remove you. I'll remove you from my blog roll, too. I'm certainly removing Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer from my blog roll. I don't want anything to do with them. They're cowards as far as I'm concerned. Got some comments here. There is one from Abbott. He's very succinct. He says, Quilliam founded by Matty Nawaz. They are now working for the Muslims. Mm-hmm. I have another clip in here, and I'm trying to find it. I don't know what I did with the darn thing. I think I accidentally closed my page, so I'm going to try to find it again. Have to go into my history. Oh, for goodness sake, it's going to take me forever to find it, but let me see if I can. I even had it teed up, for goodness sake. Ah! Oh, well. Got the press conference. I got that out of the way. I got the Quilliam. Got the earlier today. And I am just such a little shining star here. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, you know what? That's all right. I'll kill two birds with one stone here. Actually, you know what? I might not even have time to play it because I didn't realize how fast the time is going. I've got about 20 minutes left. I've got less than 15 minutes of talking time left. Let me see if I can... I just wanted to play a little bit of it. So I'm going to go into my history. I really wanted to share this with you, and I found it. I'm just going to mute it and bring it up. There was, I had it bookmarked, and I had exactly what I wanted to say or share with you what he was saying and share with you. So what I'm going to do, though, I'll just bring it up. I'll play a few minutes of it. I won't play the whole thing. It's 14 minutes long, but take a listen to this, and let me bring it up for you. Okay, here we go. This is Tommy Robinson on Sun TV Canada, and he is speaking with Michael Korn, and he's talking about Islam. While he's speaking with Michael Korn, he explains that Muslims eat our food, drink our water, take shelter in our lands, and for what? To disrespect our culture, insult our fallen war heroes, and terrorize local natives. They spread hate through their schools and mosques against non-believers and white Westerners. They have extra benefits and do not have to pay simple things like that. We have been forced to pay, like bedroom tax, for example, as it is classed as a prayer room. Now, my listeners will remember the bedroom tax. Mm-hmm. And there was a rumor. This actually turned out to be false. There were rumors going on in the blogosphere, the Twittersphere, the Facebook sphere, about how Muslims were being exempt from the bedroom tax because they were claiming the second bedroom as a prayer room. No, that turned out to be false, but this it's in here anyway, so just wanted to clear that up. They get rights that British people do not. Enough is enough. We have given them more than enough chances. Get Islam and Muslims out of the UK, Europe, and the Western world. The government and politicians are traitors, not only to us, but to our ancestors, our forefathers, and our children. If nothing is done, history will remember the white British native of the 21st century as cowards for just letting their country get took over. I think he means get taken over without even a mental fight, never mind a physical one. Vote for Paul Weston and Liberty GB. Watch his videos and listen to his heartfelt words. He is the only man that can save Britain and her people. Support Tommy Robinson and the EDL. They are the physical backbone of Britain, and their intentions are nothing but good for you and Britain. Study the racist views of Islam in their Quran and their barbaric ways of the Sharia law, which involves being stoned to death, beheaded, mutilated, and more sick and backwards punishments that they want to install today. It will take you less than 10 minutes to search up the basics on Google. Educate yourself. It is no secret that they are trying to outbreed us by forcing their women to have 8-plus kids per couple and forcing their children into radical Islam. 30 years from now, it is a fact that white British people will be the minority and eventually ousted if nothing is done, and our children and our children's children will suffer. Our forefathers did not die for ungrateful Muslims. They died for you. That was great. That was the poster, Patriot of Britain, who posted that. And he posted this video of Tommy Robinson speaking with Michael Corrin in Canada, and this was on September 17th. It was published on September 17th. This was actually taped on the Michael Corrin show a few months earlier, but just take a listen to this little clip.
The people who are with you are just ordinary British people. However, waving the Israeli flag, a Jewish division. There are some who say, oh, there's a handful of people, but there's still that hardcore of neo-Nazi types who are in your organization. Is that true?
There's no neo-Nazis in an organization. If you go on any neo-Nazi websites, if you type in RVF EDL, you'll see a video by real neo-Nazis threatening to murder me. If you just have to go on any of their websites to see what their stance is against us. They hate us. Don't get me wrong. When this organization started, it was a nationalistic organization, and you can't expect purity from an organization that was 3, 4, 5, 6 months old. Purity comes with time. We're 2 years old, over 2 years old, and we're getting that purity now. We've kicked out any rogue elements. When this started, it was a majority lads, young lads that were fed up and that were willing to take to the streets. Now, if you go to a demonstration, you see like about 30% of our support now is women, is females, is mothers, grandmothers. Our support base has changed. It's becoming more mainstream, which is what we want. And there are no neo-Nazis in the English Defence League. There's not. Anyone that's found with any racist views which don't fit our agenda and fit what we stand for, they're kicked out immediately. Which is, you find racists in the Labour Party, you find racists in the police force. Don't get me wrong, there probably are some racists within the English Defence League, but when they raise their head, they're kicked straight out, because that's not what we stand for.
All right, just going beyond that, and we've got plenty of time, because I want to ask you about your policies and so on, but, you know, I grew up going to football, going to soccer as a Tottenham fan, and when I was a kid, I got involved in things I probably shouldn't have, but most of the people I knew, you know, the hard nuts, the likely lads, they weren't Nazi. They had some strange views, but they were pretty decent people. But they did like the violent aspect of the whole thing. They liked the confrontation. An accusation has been, even if they're not Nazis, you do attract a lot of soccer fans who just want to get into a big fight. True?
What it is, when we first started, we left Luton and we went to Birmingham. And when we got to Birmingham, we had our heads kicked in. We were attacked by gangs and gangs of Muslim youth. Now, that went across the whole country in the newspapers. Now, when we went to Manchester, how many female middle-aged school teachers are going to come out on the street and oppose militant Islam when we all know the consequences? It's a violent reaction. You're not going to get many. So the people that were willing to step forward and take to the streets were the brave people, the fearless people, the people who are of the mindset, we're not backing down.
And I'm going to stop it right there. That gives you an idea. That is the Tommy Robinson I know. The fearless people not backing down. So what happened today? I don't know. I have somebody on the air. I've extended the show for a few minutes, so if you want to stick around beyond the 5:30 mark, please do. I have 410 on the line. I'm going to bring him or her on right now. And 410, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. What's your name and what's your comment?
Hey, Kel. This is Moving. How you doing?
Moving. How are you? I'm doing quite
hey,
well.
You know,
oh,
you're sounding
all
so
this.
Serious today.
Oh, so serious.
You know, I really don't get this, you know, EDL thing too much because I'm here, you know, in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
USA. But certainly I do have an appreciation for, you know, what's going on, you know. I mean, I have a very close relative who's married to a Muslim man, and she's a Christian. So he's Muslim,
yeah.
She's Christian, and how they got over things, and I grew up with this girl, how they got over things was they sent their kid to a Jewish preschool, their kids, both of them, and that's how they got over all the religious issues. And having seen that and experienced that, I'm like, okay, not all Muslim folk are bad, but you
oh,
know,
absolutely not.
But
no
you know,
way.
I got a rub. I got a huge rub, and I'll tell you what the rub is. Here in the USA, Barack Hussein Obama has not sent Nidal Hassan, you know, U.S. Army Major Nidal Hassan to the gallows
yeah.
after killing my comrades, my Army buddies out there in Texas. You know, if they were able to walk around with their guns, they maybe would have been able to defend themselves. And I'll tell you, it's time for Christians to stand up and say, hey, you know, we can't be afraid anymore in the UK and in Canada, in the United States, over there in Egypt and Syria and all, and Iran and Iraq, they're getting killed. They're getting their heads cut off and the kids are getting shot and priests are getting, you know, burned. I mean,
there was,
you know, we don't have to acquiesce. We don't have to
yep,
take this.
Right.
We don't have to apologize. You know, all we have to do is pray. And, you know, I encourage everybody in the UK, it's time to get your guns back. Really is. Just me moving, speaking from America. Time to get your guns back because it's really, you know, in God's hands. And he does not expect us to be, you know, weak. You know, weak.
I wish that England, I wish that the people of England had never surrendered their arms. They had never.
Hey, I remember people here in the USA shipping guns after World War I and World War II in the box loads when the wars struck in Europe. And right now the war is striking with the Middle East, and they're sending these Wahhabis over there all around the world. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, people have to be able to defend themselves. And you know what? You know, that kid here in the USA on the West Coast that got stabbed. I mean, you know, the truth on that one
yeah.
is going to come out. But because the U.S. president, my main point for calling in, not to encroach on your show, my
oh,
main point
okay.
for calling in is Barack Hussein Obama has not done anything about Nidal Hassan and demoralized the American people and Christians for not acting swiftly once he had due process and admitted his crime openly, said he did it for the jihad. Hey, they gave the white Christians and everybody else the gallows, but Nidal Hassan gets a pass. And you know what? Christians don't have to bend over anymore. You know, enough's enough.
I don't.
This jihad is enough.
They should. And moving, I'll tell you one thing, and I espouse this on the show left, right, and center 24/7, it would seem, and I could do this show 24/7. What you bring up there is that Christians do have a right to defend their Anglo Judeo-Christian background. We
absolutely.
In the West are founded on the Magna Carta. We are founded on Judeo-Christian principles. When we see encroachment from the Islamic side moving in on us, we have every single right to say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. This is why it's so difficult, though, in particular today, for me to do this show in light of what has been developing within the English Defense League, and that is Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll essentially washing their hands and walking away from it.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm going to jump. Awesome show. I hope you appreciate the call because I don't mean anything mean-spirited in any way. But something
Absolutely.
For Remy Soldier is, Remy Soldier says something to the effect that we don't need guns in the UK, we need good politicians. You know, hey, that's fair, but I would also say you need good statesmen and not politicians. So, hey, thanks for letting me call in, and God bless everyone here, and God bless the
moving.
God bless everyone who really wants to just bring things into the future, and do good things.
I want to thank you, Moving, very much for calling in, and your words speak volumes. Fantastic call by Moving. I want to thank him very much for that. Now, I extended the show for a few minutes because when I was playing that last clip, and Moving is right, and Remember Soldier, he has a point, too, that we don't need guns, we need good politicians, but Moving says we need good statesmen, and that in itself is something you have to think about. Where is our Winston Churchill in England? Where is the politicians? Where are the statesmen? I was playing that clip with Tommy Robinson, with Michael Corrin, and Paul Weston popped into my head. Paul Weston of the Liberty GB Party. I have had some private conversations with him. He is a man with whom could be that elder statesman in Britain. You have all heard this clip. I'm going to play it again. I extended the show for a few minutes. I want to play this clip by Paul Weston and how he is a racist. I think it's important to reiterate this. I want you to really pay attention to this. I want my brothers and sisters in England to really concentrate on Paul Weston and the Liberty GB, because one thing Paul Weston would never do is abandon his principles and acquiesce to Islamism like we are witnessing happening today.
Hello, my name is Paul Weston, and I am a racist. I know I'm a racist because I'm told I'm a racist by a great deal of people. The hard left think I'm a racist. The Labour Party thinks I'm a racist. Conservatives think I'm a racist. Liberal Democrats think I'm a racist. The BBC thinks I'm a racist. So I must therefore be a racist. Why am I a racist? It's very simple. I wish to preserve the culture of my country. I wish to preserve the people of my country. And in doing so, that makes me a designated racist in today's society. Now, this is something that's been moved by the left. The goalposts have been moved by the left a considerable distance from this. In order to be termed a racist 30 or 40 years ago, you had to actively dislike foreign people. Now, I don't dislike foreign people. What I do like, what I love, is my country, my culture, and my people. And I see that under a terrible threat at the moment. Britain is a very small country that's opened its doors to the mass immigrants of the third world, and we are simply being overwhelmed. Our schools can't cope. Our hospitals can't cope. Very little can cope anymore. Our welfare system is on the verge of buckling as well. So if I want to defend what I grew up in, what I was born into, my country, my British culture, my heritage and my history, I am, apparently, according to absolutely everybody today, a racist. But I don't think that's the case. Not the case that I'm not actually a racist. I'm going to admit that full out right now, because clearly I am. I've been told by so many people I am, it simply must be true. I'm probably also an Islamophobe. A phobia is an irrational fear of something. Now, I don't have an irrational fear of Islam. I look around the world today, at Syria at the moment, where almost 100,000 people have been killed in the last 2 years, where Shia Muslims are slaughtering Sunni Muslims and vice versa. I look at places like Indonesia and Egypt and China and the Philippines. Everywhere you look, you see problems with Islam. And they're violent. They are, dare I say it, to really reinforce my racist credentials, a thoroughly savage political and religious ideology. Now, many people will disagree with that. The far left, of course, will say you cannot criticize Islam because Islam is a religion and rules have now been put into place in this country that say if you criticize it, you are guilty of inciting religious hatred. But Islam is not just a religion. Islam is a political ideology as well. And we need to call it out on the fact that it is also political. It is a culture that is both political and religious. And I would like to know if I'm able to say certain things about it. Do I think, for example, that stoning adulteresses to death is something that we should welcome in this country? Well, I don't think it is, so therefore I'm guilty of religious hatred by saying it. Do I think homosexuals should be hanged from cranes? No, I don't. I think it's backward. I think it's savage. And I think the people that do it are beyond the pale, quite frankly. And I'm not allowed to say these things because, of course, I'm again inciting religious hatred. So not only am I a racist, I'm also a religionist, apparently. But I'm not. You know, we have a huge problem in this country that is not going to go away. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We as a people are declining as a demographic, and the Islamic population is growing 9 times faster than any other. And when I look to the future, I see a full-blown religious civil war occurring in this country. The unthinkable things that are going on in somewhere like Syria today will happen in this country before 2040, certainly before 2050. And I don't want Britain to turn into a country like that. So I'm going to denounce Islam as a backward, savage, political and religious ideology, and to hell with what anybody thinks about that. Because if we don't do something about it, we are going to be involved in something that most people can barely even begin to imagine in Britain. Babies are beheaded in towns in Syria. The idea this could happen in somewhere like Surbiton, or even Eaton Square, is simply impossible to think for most people, but it is going to happen. It really is going to happen. So we need to denounce it for what it is, and we need to start mounting some sort of defense against this. But the trouble with mounting a defense against it is that you get hit with the racist accusation. I'm not a racist, but. Well, here's the thing. I am a racist. If I want to avoid a civil war happening in my country, I am prepared to accept being called a racist. And you should be prepared to accept being called a racist as well. Let's all just say, yes, we're dreadful, dreadful racists, and let's start denouncing an ideology that is the most primitive, backward, savage ideology that we've willfully imported into this country by the left, by people like Tony Blair, who did it deliberately in order to undermine our culture, our people, our country, my country. They did it deliberately. And then they said, you're not allowed to actually argue with us about this. Well, I'm arguing with you about this, Mr. Blair, and I'll tell you something. You denounced, you repealed the treason law shortly after you came into power. I think you committed treason, Mr. Blair. I think you committed treason when you said we are going to import the third world in order to rub the noses of the right in diversity. To me, that's treason. Your principal duty is to uphold the best interests of the people of this country. The idea that you deliberately set out to undermine us and to subvert us is an act that's criminal. It doesn't matter that you repealed the laws. Those laws can be brought back. And one day, Mr. Blair, you will be tried for treason, along with the rest of your cabinet and every single high-ranking Labour politician that allowed this criminal act to happen. And I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't matter that you can perhaps prosecute me for racism or inciting religious hatred. I don't believe in that. I believe only in one thing, the defense of my country, the defense of my people, the defense of my culture. And everything else can just go to hell. I am a racist.
And I put the link in the chat room for that clip for you to look at later on. That just ties into what Moodin was saying on the phone there, that we do need statesmen, and that is what everybody can agree upon. Paul Weston is a statesman. I also want to share with Moodin. Hey, Moodin, guess who I spoke with last night? I got to speak with Jan Morgan. If you're not familiar with Jan Morgan, she is one of the greatest voices in the United States. She is fighting for your Second Amendment, and that is the right to bear arms. She was on a radio program last night, and I phoned in to speak with her. So that was pretty fantastic, and she would like to be on my program. So moving, mark your calendar, Jan Morgan will be on my program probably sometime later next week. And I'll put the link in the chat room just for moving, but for everybody's edification as well, just to give you an idea of who this fantastic lady is. There you go. But I'm going to wrap it up. I have booked the show for 90 minutes, and I wanted to run over a little bit because I was inspired to play that seven-minute clip by Paul Weston. And yes, he is a racist. A label that is so totally diluted. We're not racist. We're realists. We know the Islamic threat. I'm disappointed that Tommy Robinson and Kev Carroll have found that. Maybe it's not such a threat, and they have decided to embed themselves with the Quilliam Foundation, which was founded by a Muslim, Maddie. Now it's a very distressing day. Okay, I'm going to close out. I want to thank you all very much for joining me. I want to thank everybody who joined me in the chat room. I want to thank everybody who will listen and archive later, and I know you do. The show will be ready for podcast. Listen probably within the next 15 minutes after I close out. So you can download me and you can take me to work with you. You can listen to me anytime you like. Love Blog Talk Radio and the podcast feature. There's a lot of people who wonder something that I do at the end of the show. I'm going to explain that to you. When I do the closing song, Fox on the Run by Sweet, I also throw in Fox Cries. And people say, what are those, what is that? Well, that is referred to as the Vixen Scream. Long ago, people thought that it was only female foxes that did that particular scream, the Vixen Scream. It's actually an alarm scream. It's used by both male and female foxes, and primarily to alert their young that danger is about. So when you hear that wahee, 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 that's the Vixen Scream. That is an alert scream. That is to warn of danger. That's why I play that at the very end, because I am screaming to you that there is a danger. It's called Islam. It's mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. Now I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for being here for an impromptu show of the Red Fox Blogger with your humble host, Kel Fritzy. I'm going over to Dana Smearman's show later on tonight at 9 p.m. That's the conservative watchtower right here on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going over to Dana's place tonight. Guys, my friends in the English Defense League, do not be faint of heart. This is not the end. This is not the end of the battle against Islam. The EDL will persevere. I have faith. I was so moved to do this show for you. I think it's a very important show. I hope you enjoyed the clips, and I hope you enjoyed the articles I related to you. Guys, have a great week. I'll see you back here on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Love you all.